Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
If you want to revolutionize the deer hunting on your property, I have two words for you. Deer sanctuary. Now, what that means and how to do it, you're going to have to listen to the whole episode. Welcome to the New Hunter's Guide, the podcast and YouTube channel helping new hunters get started and helping active hunters learn new things. I'm your host, George Kanitas, and today we are getting into deer season, thinking about planning for it, habitat management, all that kind of stuff. And I want to talk to you today about deer sanctuaries. Now, this is a bit of a buzz term. A lot of different people talk about it. Some people have good things to say. But in terms of the new hunter, in terms of the person that's new to this, or maybe you're not new to it, you just haven't had success with it, right? That's a lot of people. I want to break this down for you, and as is my typical fashion, how can you accomplish the most by doing the least? How can you think smarter, not harder? And how can you use good strategy, good ideas, and just good common sense to accomplish what you don't have a lot of budget to do, right? If you don't have equipment, if you can't hire consultants, if you can't bring in tractors and logging operations and planting and all this stuff, what can you do to best use your land, to best manage what you have available to you? Whether that's just 10 acres, 5 acres, 100 acres, 500 acres, whatever the case may be, how do you get the most bang for the buck and the hour? Well, deer sanctuary is a big one, all right? And it's big for a couple different things, but probably the single most sought after is because people want to shoot big bucks. They want to shoot mature deer. Large antlers, large deer. Now, what is a mature deer? What is a large antler deer? What's a big deer? Well, that depends entirely on where you live, not just in the country, but even within your state, where you are and what's going on there. You know, if you live in the middle of Iowa, that's a very different thing than if you live in western Pennsylvania. It's very different. If you live in upstate New York versus Northern Michigan, they are different things. All right. So depending on where you live, a mature deer is going to be essentially the largest, the biggest, the oldest age class that hunting allows to develop in that area. So some places a mature deer is 6, 7, 8 years old. Some places a mature deer 2 or 3 years old. It depends greatly on the hunting pressure, the habitat, and probably more the hunting pressure than anything else. And it's not just hunting pressure in terms of spooking deer out. It's just killing all of the deer. And just deer don't live long enough to get much bigger. Where I'm at, you do not see a lot of deer older than 3, 3.5 years. There are very few deer older than 3.5 years. Last year, I had, I'm going to say, 2 deer on all of my trail cameras that I saw all year long that might have been a 4-year-old deer. That's it. 2 deer. 1 deer appeared 1 day on 1 trail camera, never again. And I keep my trail cameras up. I try to keep them up and active year round. Now, sometimes the batteries go, sometimes the memory card fills up. You know, I'm not anal retentive about it, you know, but I leave my cameras in the field year round because I want to know what happens year round, not just with deer, but with other game. And so I had two deer on all my cameras for the entire year that I thought, okay, one's definitely a 4-year-old. The other one may be a 4-year-old. That's it. And I had dozens of different bucks, but, and the one that was definitely the oldest and the biggest, he was there one day out of 365 that I've got any intel on. Never seen him before, never seen him since. Unfortunately, I wasn't there that day. I had already taken my deer. But where I live, there just aren't bigger deer. Or they're few and far between. And I was going after 3-year-olds. That was my target, trying to get me a 3-year-old. And did. But, you know, it's just, and what does that mean? Okay, so let me just start right here real quick. So a first year deer, a fawn, they were born that spring. It's winter time, or it's the fall. They are a fawn. Depending on when the hunting season starts, they may still have spots. Okay? They have no antlers. You really can't even tell the difference between a fawn, between a doe fawn and a buck fawn at that age without, you know, holding their head in your hands most of the time. You can't even tell the difference. So a 1.5-year-old deer, right? Because they were born in April, May-ish, and now it's October-ish, November. A 1.5-year-old deer has his first antlers, and they're usually just little nubs. Okay, they might be 2 inches. You might not even be able to see them above his head. It could be a little spike, but that's usually it. They got their first little antlers. Now, if you've got places with huge ag land and these deer can gorge to the fullest and the winters aren't too bad, they may be bigger than that at 1.5 years. Mostly we see spikes at a 1.5-year-old deer. A 2.5-year-old deer, that's your typical 4-point, 6-point, sometimes itty-bitty little 8 points. And I mean, there are technically 8 points, but they're very small. But that's usually your nice size 4-point or a 6-point, and I'm talking combined of both antlers. Then that's usually your 2.5-year-old deer where I live. In other places, they may be a little bigger depending on the food, or if you don't have food and you have harsher winters, they may be a little smaller. A 3.5-year-old deer, that is going to be your nice 8-point or your real big thick 6-point. Something like that. And once you get the 4.5-year-old deer, you're talking about 10 points. You're talking about massive 8 points in my area. And when you get the 5.5, no, there's none. There aren't any 5.5. I've never seen a 5.5-year-old deer. Never. Not one time. Not since the day I was born until now, with every hour I've spent in the woods and every trail camera I've had out there. I've never seen a deer that I think that actually might have been a 5.5-year-old. In some states, people pass on 5.5-year-olds. You know, they're just not quite big enough. Give them one more year. Once they hit 6.5, they have reached 100% of their maturity and body size, which is true. And that is when they are the ripest for the taking. They're not really going to be much bigger than 5.5, but they'll be a little bigger. So, it depends on where you live. I'm after 3.5-year-old bucks most seasons. Like I said, there was maybe one or two last year in the entire year on all my cameras that I saw that were maybe a 4.5-year-old. And who knows? Maybe they're still out there. Maybe they'll be the first 5.5-year-old I've ever seen next year because of deer sanctuaries. So let's talk about that. Your goal is to try to get older bucks. And you want to do a couple things on your property if you're thinking about deer sanctuaries. One, you want to hold more deer. Two, you want to be able to hunt those deer more effectively. Three, you want to be able to advance deer to the next age class and be able to hold older, more mature deer and essentially protect them from other hunters. So what is a deer sanctuary? A deer sanctuary, my definition is very simple. Very simple. And it is a place on your property that deer never see, hear, or smell humans during the hunting season. They never see, hear, or smell humans. It is a place that you never go into, that they can never see you from, and that they never smell you from. It is a part of your property that you set aside and you make it a sanctuary. Now, what makes it a sanctuary? The number one thing is that you never get close enough so that deer can see, hear, or smell you from, we'll say, September to December, or whenever your hunting season is. You want that to be a sanctuary, a place where deer can go and bed and live, and they never have to deal with people. Now, the biggest way you do that is one, not going in there, but two, how you access your property, how you get on the property. One of the worst things that hunters do to mess up their chances at taking mature deer is they'll just walk right through the middle of their property. They'll just hunt right in the middle of it. They'll do things like that, and they make it so that there is nowhere. Now, how big's the sanctuary have to be? It doesn't have to be huge. It ought to be a percentage more than an acreage count. The goal's probably like 40% of your property to be a deer sanctuary.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's kazoo concert in Kansas City, go Kevin, or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial. And with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown. And through adaptable problem solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
Now, if you have a big property, you could have more than one sanctuary. But, you know, whether that's 5 acres, 10 acres, 20 acres, you know, of course, 40, 50, 60 acres is better. 100 acres is great. Bigger than that, you probably don't need it that big, really. You can have more than one. Now, the goal of the sanctuary is to have cover, to have bedding. Places that deer can hide. You want to have high stem count, browse, shrubs, you know, whatever kind of grasses, just garbage, you know, plants that deer can hide, that they can disappear, and that they can be completely hidden. You do not, in my opinion, want your primary food sources on deer sanctuaries. So the goal is deer could hide on the sanctuary, and then they leave to go eat at a food plot or wherever the food is, naturally or otherwise. And so what you do is you hunt that movement. You hunt the place between the sanctuary and the food. If you hunt the sanctuary, it won't be a sanctuary. It just you're totally undoing what you're trying to do. If you hunt the food, you are going to pressure those deer and make them nocturnal. They're going to stop coming to that food during the day. Now, you can hunt the food a couple times, but you cannot be there every day or every other day hunting a food plot, or those deer are going to be gone. Now, if it's rifle season and you can set up in your blind, 300 yards from the food plot, and you can see it and hunt it from there, well, that's a different story, of course. But if you're on the plot and your sight, smell, or sound is going to at any point impact deer on that food plot, or you have to walk through that food plot to get to your stand, you know, you're not going to be able to hunt that very many times before it starts having an adverse effect on mature deer. Younger deer, young bucks, does, fawns, you can get away with a lot. And a lot of people think that because they're still seeing does and fawns and young bucks, that, you know, their chances at taking mature deer are still good and that the deer don't care. Well, does can take a lot. They can take a lot of pressure and a lot of abuse, whereas mature bucks will not. They just won't. They will not put up with anywhere near as much as does will put up with. You drive an ATV through your property, you know, does might just look at you and then keep eating. The mature bucks, they're gone. They're gone before you got there. They ghosted. Or if you saw them one time, the chances are you won't see them again. At least not for a while. So a sanctuary is a place where those deer can go and they can bed and they can live and they can hang out and they can hide and no one ever goes in there. No one ever bothers them. You never hunt close enough to it that your scent's getting in there. You never walk close enough where they could see, hear, or smell you. And you play your wind very smart. And then there's food somewhere else, and you're hunting the deer going between the sanctuary and the food. They're bedding in the sanctuary. They're leaving that to go eat, and you hunt the middle point. All right? This is the number one strategy. It's not the only strategy, but it's the number one, simplest, easiest to understand strategy for the beginner and the intermediate. And it's just two steps. Sanctuary, food plot, you hunt in between. And you may have to have multiple tree stands in different places to hunt that movement based on the wind. So I have, you know, where I hunt, I have a couple of different locations, a couple of different stands and blinds. Some of them are on the same property. Some of them are within 100 yards of each other. Some are even closer than that. And it's not because they're all good spots either. It's because they're good for different winds. So I have my number one spot. I do. I've got it. And then I've got a number two spot. And then I've got a three and a four. Well, why do you need a three and a four? Well, you know, some years, maybe you have more activity there. But the big reason is the wind. If say I've got a day off, I'm going to go hunting. And say the wind is bad for my number one spot. Say it's bad for my number two spot. Well, I've got a three and a four. No matter what the wind is doing, I've got a place to hunt. If I've got time and opportunity and the other weather conditions are good, I'm able to hunt a good wind in a good area. So when you're coming up with a sanctuary, you know, building a deer sanctuary can just be as simple as a strategy to avoid the area. Doesn't have to cost you a penny. Now, if you want to invest some energy, if you want to invest some effort, some time, if you do have a couple shekels you want to put into it, you can go in and you can try to enhance that sanctuary with more cover. With more cover and potential bedding. Sometimes maybe that involves hinge cutting trees, where you cut through most of the tree. These are thinner trees, and they will fall over but still be attached on that one side. And that tree will basically then grow on the ground for years and years and years, creating a lot of side cover, browse, things deer can nibble on. You can go in and you could put in switchgrass. Or you could go in and you can just take down a few choice trees in order to open up canopy. If you take down, you know, a bunch of trees in an area, sunlight's going to reach dirt. When sunlight reaches dirt, brush comes up, right? That's just what happens. So you got an axe or a chainsaw, you can take down a few trees. The worst thing you can have is just wide open hardwoods. You just stand there and you can see a couple hundred yards. That is the worst thing you could possibly have for deer hunting. For turkey hunting, that may be okay sometimes. But for deer hunting, deer need cover, they need food. You're like, well, you know, I've got 30 acres of oak trees that are mature. Well, that's going to be helpful for like 3 weeks a year. The rest of the time, it's doing nothing for you. It's probably hurting you. What you probably ought to do is go in there and take out a couple, you know, half acre chunks and just mow down everything. Let sunlight hit the ground. Could even be bigger chunks than that. Get cover, get brush. You don't want to be able to see straight through the woods. So many hunters, oh my goodness, and I only know this because I was one of them for so long, they set up in places where they can see long distances. They're like, oh, I could see a quarter mile from here, straight through the woods. Perfect. Yeah, well, deer aren't coming there because you can see straight through the woods for a quarter mile. They know they're not safe. They know they're easy to spot. They know predators and people and coyotes and bears and whatever else can spot them. They just don't hang out in areas like that. They may pass through them, but they're not hanging out there and they're not going to frequent there. They want cover. They want to be concealed. I would rather hunt an area where I can't see further than 40 yards than one where I can see for 400. Because I'm going to see more deer. I'm going to have a better chance at taking mature deer. And I would rather hunt in an area where I can't see anything I can't shoot. Let me say that one more time. I would rather hunt an area where I cannot see anything that's out of range. And I'm usually talking about bow or crossbow range. You know, of course, with a rifle, same principle. I don't want to be able to see anything I can't shoot. So the minute that deer enters my vision, I can shoot it. Why? Because I don't want any deer to be able to see me before I can shoot them. It's the worst thing. I hunt turkeys the same way. I would rather not be able to see the animal until they're in range because then it's in level playing field. Right? They don't have, you know, 5 minutes, 10 minutes, an hour to notice me or smell me or pick me out and then run away before they get within range. They're walking through, they're moving, and I'm still, so I have the advantage. They're walking through, and then I can draw, lift, aim, point, shoot, whatever, and I can take them out. And a sanctuary is a place where they can hide. What makes it a sanctuary is that it's good hiding, it's good cover. And the easiest, cheapest way to get cover is to take down canopy, take down trees. Now, I'm not saying just chop down all your oak trees. Oak trees have value. A mature oak tree is worth a lot. 30 acres of nothing but mature oak trees, though, is hurting you. All right, you need variety. Deer are creatures of edge. They love habitat diversity. You need edge, you need diversity. 100% of anything is not good for deer hunting. You need cover, you need food, you need hiding places, you need travel corridors. You need variety. Deer love variety and they love to live in places where there's variety. So you can create variety. You can create cover. You don't have to plant anything, you don't have to spend anything other than maybe a couple gallons of chainsaw gas. You know, and of course, there's certainly ways you can spend more money. Sky is the limit in what you could spend money on for this. But, you know, you gotta have cover, and deer gotta have cover that they can still move through. So some people, what they'll do is they'll take down a few big trees, try to run them parallel, create a pinch point, and try to pinch the deer to go through that corridor. Deer hate stuff like that. They want to be able to escape and run in any direction if something happens. They are wary of pinch points, and they will try to avoid them if they have other options. What you need is cover that they can come in from anywhere, hide from anywhere, leave from anywhere. And, you know, you can do a little bit of posturing. You can work to create a little bit of pinching. You know, you can have a little bit of extra brush here and a little bit of more clearing area here. And then they will tend to go the path of least resistance. But when you try to take hard measures of pinch points and creating corridors and they feel trapped in the middle of a corridor, they're going to tend to avoid that. Mature bucks especially are going to tend to avoid that. But if you have cover and you have food and you stay out of both, you will have deer, and you will have the opportunity for a good hunt. And I could go on, but this is the 101 level, and I really hope you guys, you know, find some value in this. Hope you're able to take this and leverage it, and I'll probably talk more about it in more depth in the future, but wanted to start here. Please head to the website, newhuntersguide.com. Check out the show notes, other episodes, articles, Would really appreciate it if you go to iTunes, leave a 5-star review with comment. It's the number one way in order to help the show grow and reach more people. I would really appreciate it. Till next time, God bless you and go get them in the woods.